beginning 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the last week of June, this is the Rain Report. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. We are pleased to announce that as of this week, we now can keep each Rain Report on the rainreport.com website for an additional week, thanks to audio bandwidth being underwritten by CQ Communications. So if you missed Hap Holly, KC9RP's interview with Gordon West we ran last week, it's still available as the last Rain Report for an additional week. Some of the most thought-provoking audio Hap Holly collected from the four forum rooms at 2004 Dayton Hamvention originated from the Amateur Radio and the Law Forum. This is the first time we have featured Fred Hoppengarten, K1VR, writer, attorney, and volunteer counsel for the American Radio Relay League. His zoning and municipalities talk was a real eye-opener. Here is an excerpt from that presentation.
What happened this past year is I was approached by K4VV with respect to Loudoun County, Virginia, and Randall Dunning with respect to some place in Texas, KC5QHH, where he sits as a member of the planning board, and Brian Rambo, W4WMT, in rural Georgia. And they were all involved in negotiating with their counties on a redrafting of the bylaws. So I decided to see what I could really suck out of the law that has resulted from PRB1 over time and help these municipalities and counties figure out how to go about drafting a new bylaw. What has happened is since the 1996 Telecommunications Act, a lot of places have decided to go about redrafting whatever it was they had that regulated tower law. It has become all too common that they go to the National League of Cities and they come up with a draft to cover cellular towers, and somehow or another hams get forgotten. At the last minute, the hams jump up and say, write us an exemption. And then, you know, they say you don't want to know how sausage and laws are made. The thing that happens is not pretty, and some of these bylaws become ugly. What I've tried to do then is distill what the law requires generally about ham radio, and I'm going to give it to you right now. We start with the organic basis, which is PRB1, which was a rulemaking by the Federal Communications Commission. It basically says two things: that the municipality or the governmental entity must reasonably accommodate. When this comes up, what I don't think occurs to municipalities is that if they had unusual setbacks, unusual fees, unusual costs, unusual height regulations that don't apply to other things, then we as radio hams have a pretty strong argument that it's not a reasonable accommodation because we've been signaled out for special treatment. The second argument I'd like to make out of the original PRB1 is that it actually contains the phrase minimum practicable regulation. Only a government lawyer could write practicable. The rest of us talk about things that are practical. But that's not the way it was written. It says minimum practical regulation. So, again, I don't think that they should be allowed to get away with in the drafting process these unusual fees, costs, and height regulations or setbacks. What I want them to know is they've got to write an ordinance, which is the minimum practicable regulation, which means it's got to have the minimum necessary fees, costs, setbacks, height regulations, and so forth. Not special things. After the rulemaking came out of the FCC, they went through a process to publish a federal regulation. Federal regulations are easier to cite than FCC writings because nobody can get their hands on the original without going to the FCC website. Nobody has at home a collection of FCC documents. It basically deals again with height and dimensions. Whatever this ordinance may be, you're entitled to ask a question of the municipality. Is the height, if there's a height discussion in the ordinance, is it sufficient? And are the dimensions permitted sufficient? So what this goes to is those ordinances that include a maximum height, and they stop right there. The maximum height is 75 feet. Is it sufficient? And secondly, sometimes they get a little clever and they want to write an ordinance with a maximum width of any antenna will be 20 feet. Tough to put a 20-meter dipole up if the maximum dimension is 20 feet. And that is in the federal regulation. Easy for anyone to get a hold of. Following that, there have been a series of rules promulgated by the FCC, and the one that I'm most enamored of is DA-99-2569. It was written under Distributed Authority, DA, Distributed Authority, and 99 means it came out in 1999, and 2569, they have a lot of rulemaking, so this just happened to be the number it got that year. In this particular rulemaking, what's critical is that it forbids a balancing of interests. The FCC did the original balancing, and the municipality may no longer balance the radio ham's interest against the interests of the community. The balancing has already been done. So it points out that municipalities and governmental entities cannot do the balancing of interests. There can't be a balancing test. And secondly, wonderful expression, it says that regulations must not impinge on the needs of amateur operators. Now, of course, we get a little fuzzy here because, in fact, you'll discover that if you thought your need was for a 500-foot tall tower, they'd probably be able to impinge on that perceived need. But we can get back to arguing about a reasonable accommodation of your need. And the consequence of this phrase, impinge on the needs, if you're not an engineer yourself, you really need to make friends with an engineer who is going to help you develop your needs case. You really want to develop a way to show that you need 96 feet as opposed to 84 feet or 135 feet. And you really want to develop that.
You're listening to a talk about zoning and municipalities by attorney and writer Fred Hoppengarten, K1VR. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for rain audio.
My favorite tactic in developing a needs case is using some of the modern propagation software to pick a number, like I want effective communication 75% of the time at 14 megahertz from my home in Dallas, Texas to Moscow when the band is open at 14 megahertz. Then show two things, that the way to really accomplish this would be to erect something 130 feet tall. But as an accommodation to the community, although you're not required to do so, you're willing to live with a 95-foot structure at a substantial degradation to the performance that you really do need. Don't laugh. This is pretty much the approach that was taken in the Snook case, a Texas case, where what he claimed was he needed 80 to 90% performance for effective communication. And now we have a federal district court decision that says 80 to 90% communications effectiveness. So, you know, crank it down, look like a good public citizen. Be willing to live with 50, 60, 70%, and you've got a really solid, modest justification for your lower height antenna. Stick to 96 feet. After the regulations, we've had a series of court decisions, and if you go through them closely, things begin to pop out at you that haven't become obvious in things that have been written in CQ and QST about it so far. One of them is the court decisions require an open mind. And the beauty of this is if you can find something on the record which is the equivalent of we'll never grant anything over a given height, you've got it. In fact, that's exactly what happened to Andy Bodoni, K2LE, where the municipality tried in advance. They contacted their attorneys and said, what can we possibly do to prevent him from putting up his 96-foot crank-up? Andy went down to the town hall. He's reading the file, and he sees this letter outbound from the municipality to their attorneys. Beauty of the town clerk is they'll file everything. It should never have been filed because it was private attorney-client communications. Didn't have to be in the public file. But Andy found it in the public file. His lawyers immediately filed to find out what the other guy said. The municipality's lawyers go berserk because they don't want their private attorney-client relationship advice exposed to the public. In the end, actually, the court broke that relationship and allowed the introduction of some of that advice. And that's how we get wound up with this open mind ruling in the case. And it's a ruling. It says the municipality must approach one of these cases with an open mind. The next thing I was going to mention is that the court decisions, and a bunch of them, tell you that the FCC rule, which requires reasonable accommodation, not maximum height, but accommodation, really requires no fixed and unvarying height. And you can find those words in the cases. No fixed and unvarying height. Most of these cases involve fixed and unvarying heights of 25, 30, 35 feet, 36 feet on occasion. However, the Brower case, which is in Florida, had a fixed and unvarying height of 80 feet. And I am prepared to take the courts at their word and say, if the ordinance has a fixed and unvarying height of 75 feet, it's fixed and unvarying, and it fails the test of all these court decisions. So just because you've read some court decisions, don't think that they're necessarily limited to the standard 25, 30, 35 feet of the facts in those decisions. The next thing that comes out of the court decisions is that the specifics of the application have to be considered by the town, and they have to be looked at from the ham's perspective. In other words, it's the ham's need, not generally what radio hams could live with. The reason that this is an important element of the Marchand and the Snook decisions is exemplified by what I often call the renegade ham. This is the guy who shows up at the hearing and he says, "Been a ham since 1939. Never had a dipole higher than 19 feet. I've worked England." The answer to that is thank you for sharing. In fact, these cases say that your experience or someone else's opinion of what hams ought to be willing to live with is not the test. The test is what this individual ham needs for effective communications for his purposes. Or in the Pentel case, her purposes. Never let it be said that all hams are he's. Even tower applicants. The next thing that comes out of the cases, again, it's somewhat in a conflict with the fixed and unvarying height and all some of these other issues. There's a little wobbliness in this area, and you have to get used to that idea. It's in the cases, in the Howard case and in the Pentel case, and that is that what you're entitled to as a radio ham is an attempt to negotiate a satisfactory compromise, something you can live with. Not something they can live with necessarily, but something you can live with. You have to be somewhat reasonable. And if you refuse to negotiate, you wind up like Colorado, where an applicant there declined an opportunity to talk about a crank-up tower. I'm talking about Doc Evans in NQ0I. He was given opportunities for lower towers. He wound up with nothing. There's a blessing in the court cases. These are not ham radio cases, but they stand for RFI regulation across the board. There are now three circuit court decisions. They all say, basically, that the municipalities and the governmental entities cannot get into the business of trying to regulate RFI. Well, what do I mean by this? Sometimes you'll see these attached conditions. You'll get the permit, but to it is attached a condition that it may be canceled if you're interfering with local public service communications or the like, which sounds reasonable on its face, but you don't want to be there. These cases really end the discussion, if you'll provide copies of them or citations to them, to the municipality when it's in the process of drafting either an ordinance or an individual decision when you're applying.
You've just heard an excerpt from a 2004 Dayton Hamvention presentation given by Fred Hoppengarten, K1VR, attorney, writer, and volunteer counsel for the American Radio Relay League. You'll find Fred's email address on our site's mentioned page on rainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 2004 Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.